All right, for this week, we've watched a lot of Westerns, and I'd say like I have pretty good associations with Westerns in general. I was thinking like with all the different TV we've watched over the eras, you can't really go wrong with a Western. Like I can't think of any Westerns we've watched that weren't good. Some of them were like maybe a little less memorable, the Cisco Kid or something, but they were all good shows. So I was thinking like, yeah, maybe we should watch some more Westerns. It's been a while since we've watched Westerns. And then you brought up a movie, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, and this sounded interesting to me. So, why don't you give me the pitch of what you found notable about this film?
When you would watch TV shows, Western TV shows, the West always seemed dry. Like the streets were dry, the towns were, it was almost like, well, being in a desert type thing. Maybe a little dusty, but that was it, dry. When I saw McCabe and Mrs. Miller in the early 70s, it was the first time that I ever saw a movie or the West that would be, to me, it seemed very realistic. The streets were muddy, wagons got bogged down in mud. People were dirty, like their clothes were dirty. And when you think about it, why would you have pristine pressed shirts like you would in, 310 to Yuma and those kind of shows? You wouldn't. How often would people have been able to take baths? Not that often. If you were caught out in a rainstorm, yeah, your clothes would be soaking wet and they would be muddy. McCabe and Mrs. Miller, for me, was the first time that I ever saw the West presented in what seemed to be so realistic. Men had long hair. They had unkempt beards. You think back to some of those TV shows that you saw, the Westerns. Everybody was clean shaven, like everybody. You never saw anybody with whiskers, unless they were some old retrobate drunk on the street.
And I feel like that ties into to just how those shows were, which again I liked in their own way, but when you think of like Gunsmoke, it is the white hat and the black hat, the good guys and the bad guys, the sheriff and the outlaw. So even just to tie into how those stories were, yeah, it makes sense for everything to be a little more prim and proper in the presentation.
So I walked out of McCabe and Mrs. Miller with a whole new outlook on what Western life would have been like. And I liked it because to me, it seemed very realistic. And after that, of course, you saw a whole lot of that kind of stuff. But McCabe and Mrs. Miller was the first that really went out of their way to, well, I mean, I wasn't there, but I would think it was a very realistic picture of what life was like in the West and how hard it must have been.
Well, it's even, I was just thinking, because recently we watched Little House on the Prairie, and even in that show, in the pilot, it seemed pretty realistic of like they build this house and it doesn't even have windows, and they have to, the fact that they add windows eventually is a big upgrade, and it's almost like just like a fancy dugout almost that they're living in initially, where by the time the proper series started, that house is out of control. It's a TV house. It's like a comfy TV house.
But you even mentioned from the very beginning that Michael Landon was always clean shaven. My
Yeah.
God, the man, here they were losing their stock and they were caught up in storms and they were crossing rivers where they almost drowned. And the next time you saw him, he never had even a bit of stubble. Well, I don't think in all that trial and tribulation that the family was facing that he would have said, "Hold it, hold it. I gotta get my razor out and get my shave myself clean shaven." But he was always clean shaven. So
Yeah.
that's not realistic.
And to be fair to the producers of Little House on the Prairie, they did ask him to grow a beard because it's so ludicrous. But he's like, look, dude, I'm Michael Landon. I'm a sex symbol. I'm a handsome dude. I'm selling this show. No, I'm not going to do that. But they at least understood that, it was a deliberate choice because he's a handsome man. But yeah, it doesn't make any
But
sense.
all shows were like that. When you think about the Western shows that you saw on TV at the time, my goodness, they were well set out there. But when you think about it, if you've just rescued your family from a major fire or whatever, would you have time to actually, trim your sideburns and get rid of your mustache and get rid of the stubble? I don't think so.
I can barely be bothered to do it now. So, yes, certainly not back then.
Anyway, McCabe and Mrs. Miller cut through all that. And the people there, they're pretty rough looking. The girls in the saloons are, they're not raving beauties. Some of them are, but they're not like beautifully coiffed with their hair done up and the makeup beautifully. They're pretty rough looking tickets.
So yeah, in the case of this movie, I started to look up some info about it, but I figured like, I'd rather not. I'd rather just know those basics and, you know, I'll look up some factoids for after when we talk about it, after we watch it, you know, about its production and whatnot. Because again, anyone can be an instant expert in anything now. You just look up the Wikipedia page, so I can look it up later. I won't look it up yet. But before we start this movie, I thought I would show you something because just to show you, I guess, particularly what made me so interested in this. Is that, like I was saying, I do like those old Western shows. I feel like I should probably go back and watch more of them sometimes. I like that Black Hat, White Hat version of the Old West, but I also like the way things are now, which is a way more realistic take on the Old West. So that's where I'm extra interested in, like, where did the pivot happen? Where did this really, you know, switch to the modern method of stuff? So I thought I'd show you, I guess, like an example of where things are at now with Old West stuff. And it's, yeah, so far away from the way things used to be, from the Gunsmoke days, not even remotely like that. So the example is Red Dead Redemption, the video game, which we have looked at a bit before, like we were watching when you walk around the big city in that game and you can see people come out onto their balcony and empty their chamber pots and stuff. But basically because like Western TV shows, you know, that ended a long time ago as a popular thing. They still make Western movies once in a while, but it's not the big thing anymore. You know, back in the day, it was all Westerns and the way it's like all superhero movies now. Really, the biggest thing to happen in Westerns in the modern era is Red Dead. This game is insane. It took them like 10 years to make. Literally thousands of people worked on this game. It's like the most expensive thing ever. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because, you know, they needed to make sure they didn't lose money on this. They need enough people to buy this video game to justify the insane amount of time they put into it. So they're not going to go too far off the beaten path or make things that people wouldn't expect out of a Western. So it's a great example of what people expect out of a Western now. And yeah, it's that pivot that happened apparently with McCabe and Mrs. Miller is absolutely how it is now, because this game is so harsh and is such a brutal version of the Old West.
Of course, if you're talking transitional movies in Westerns, the other big ones were, of course, the Clint Eastwood, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, A Few Dollars More, there's a third one. They were all made in Italy, but they were showing the West as pretty friggin' rough, and people were not nicely clean-shaven, and they had animals that died in the, like horses that died in the desert, and shoot them up, kill people. Yeah, if you're really going to talk transitional West, it's probably those three Clint Eastwood movies that came out. They came out in the 60s, maybe before McCabe and Mrs. Miller, probably before.
And yeah, those are on my list of things to watch at some point, because I've watched John Ford movies, but I haven't watched those Clint Eastwood ones yet. But I guess McCabe and Mrs. Miller also was interesting to me because I'd never heard of it. So, you know, I mean, I've heard of Clint Eastwood. Everyone's heard of those. Like, even though I haven't seen them, I feel like I have because I know all the Sergio Leone music and I know all the famous scenes, you know? Yeah. So it'll be cool to watch them eventually, but I was a little more interested in this movie I'd never heard of. It's like, oh yeah, interesting. All right, let's check that out. But yeah, just to show you, I guess, yeah, the current state, the current rendition of the Old West. So this game takes place in the very late 1800s. You know, it's like the very end of the cowboy era. This whole thing is about being an outlaw, and the lawlessness of the Old West is coming to an end. These outlaw types are having a very hard time staying one step ahead of the law. And it's just like that feeling in the air that civilization is just encroaching too much and they're not going to be able to keep up these shenanigans for long. But as it stands, you know, there are these weird ne'er-do-wells who live in their own little camp outside of town and stuff. So they get up to a lot of not good stuff. And one of the things that they do is they have a money-lending guy who's with them. And then when it's time to get the money back, that's your job as the character in this game, is you got to go get the money back. So I'll show you this scene of this guy going to get the money back. And it's, again, like even weird that video games are at this point in general, beyond Old West stuff, you know, instead of just like, yay, I'm Super Mario, I'm going to save the princess. Now it's like, oh, geez, so I'm this basically a criminal who probably does deserve to be in prison. And this is what I'm doing in this game, is roughing up this guy to get money back. Like weird, weird times. But there's a reason why I'm showing you this scene.
Mr. Thomas Downs?
Yep, that's me.
You owe me money.
Oh, no, no, I'm...
We ain't a charity, Mr. Downs. Really? Threaten me, would you?
Please, I have a family, sir, please.
I don't care about your family. Why'd it have to come to this, huh?
Believe me, sir, I didn't want this either.
You ain't such a do-gooder, are you? If you're running out on debts...
I'm not running anywhere. I'm doing...
You are a slippery little bastard. But I got you now.
Please. Please, show some compassion. Please. Please. Please, no.
You borrowed money from my business partner, Herr Strauss. You owe him, you took the money. He wants it back, what's not to understand? Where's our money?
I don't have it.
Sell your place.
We already owe more than it's worth.
Then sell your wife, or your family, or something. We ain't your idea of charity. Is that clear?
Thomas!
What are you looking at?
Thomas!
I said, what you looking at, woman?
My husband isn't well. If we could just have more...
Like I said, we ain't nobody's idea of charity. Get us the money.
Man, look how gorgeous that is, too. I just love riding around in that game. So, yeah, that happens. You know, you do a bunch of those missions, but that one in particular is notable because you go to get the money from this guy who's very, very sick. And what's interesting about video games is you spend so much time with this character, where in a movie it's a couple hours, even in a TV show, you know, some seasons or whatever. But I probably played this game for another, it sounds crazy to say, but probably another 100 hours where, you know, little stuff would happen. Like when you do go back to collect from that guy later, he ain't alive no more. His wife and his son are the only ones left alive, and you got to sort out that situation. And then even later on, you're doing missions and stuff, and this guy's name's Arthur. They'll be like, all right, here's the mission. Here's what we're going to do. And Arthur will be like, I just got to lay down for a bit. You know, like, I'll do it, but just, you know, give me a fucking minute. And then you're going off to do a mission. Again, video game stuff. You go like, hey, we're going to go rob a bank. Come meet us here. You just think you're doing a mission. And then this happens. And it's just like so unexpected because you're just in the middle of trying to do something else.
Mister, I need some help.
And so it seems. And that's Dr. Mister to you.
I'm sorry.
I was joking. Look, friend, I don't mean nothing, but you got money? I mean, before I start treating you, because I got a family.
Yeah, I understand. Here, lad, do you?
Sure. Thank you. Now, what's wrong? I mean, what appear to be the symptoms?
Well, I think you've heard them. I'm coughing.
Is there any blood?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. Okay, now here. Breathe. Again. Yeah. Let me see your tongue. Say ah.
Ah. What is it?
Not good news.
Well, I guess that.
You got tuberculosis. Really sorry for you, son. It's a hell of a thing.
What do you mean?
You're real sick. It's a progressive disease, and you'll be... Now, the best thing is rest and getting somewhere warm and dry and taking it easy. Now, is that possible?
Sure, I can just take my winters in my country club in California. No, it's not possible.
So yeah, just as far as not showing like the fun bang bang pow pow cowboys and Indians, you know, fun version of the Old West, I can't think of a less fun version of the Old West than your guy has tuberculosis. You know, like, good God. So yeah, that's where I was just thinking of the two extreme sides. The Gunsmoke side, where everything is, you know, more clear and more black and white. And then this side, where morally, you're playing as a guy who's beating up people to get loan money back and he's clearly a bad guy. And even just as far as, like you were saying, with just the pure reality of the Old West, yeah, just a guy coughs in your face and that's it. You're dead. Because that's the other thing. You think, oh, it's a video game. Something will happen. He'll be all right, because the game's not even close to done at this point. The game just goes on and on and on, and you're just coughing the whole time, and you can't heal properly, and you just, the only kindness is that his friends double-cross him and he gets killed before the TB kills him, because he never gets better. And it's like, man, and that is the billion-dollar super franchise big popular game that everybody bought. So yeah, I just thought that was a good example of how far away we are now from the idyllic version of the Old West. Not only does no one think of it that way anymore, nobody even wants it to be that way anymore. The big popular media franchise couldn't be more different. And yeah, and it's just like, man, like what is going on with this game? It really I think it threw everybody for a loop, because it's a freaking video game. That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to win. And this guy does not win. On every possible level, he does not win. So yeah, that's our current view of the Old West. So that was my thinking with this whole thing, is that McCabe and Mrs. Miller sounds like a good, like the midway point of the teeter-totter between the two extremes. Sounded interesting to me, so I wanted to watch
it. Over the years, you see a lot of that kind of stuff, like the tragedy of some of the West, even in like Little House in the Prairies, when you watch that further on. I told you about the one where somebody's baby, the oldest girl's baby, dies in a fire, and a lady who's trying to rescue the baby, the last scene is they're standing in a window and the fire comes. and somebody, I think it's in Little House of the Prairie too, somebody gets tuberculosis and has to go. I know Anne of Green Gables is definitely somebody has tuberculosis, and they have to go off to a sanitarium for like a year. They have to be away from the family and go to some dry place, and they survive. But still, they address that too, that sickness where there is no cure. There's another story in there where a family has diphtheria or typhoid or something like that, and the whole family's got it. It's not that the Little House in the Family Prairie, because they're taking care of them, but there's always this risk that some of them will get it too. And I think one of them does and then recovers. But the family, people die in that family. So yeah, even in that television show, they tried to address things in the West that would have been very tragic.
Yeah, and I guess it is inevitable, right? Like, you can only have, and they did do a lot of Old West stuff, especially back in the day. But yeah, you can only do so many shows and movies about that time before you'd have to, I guess, face up to that. Just the reality that they just didn't have what we have. And if you get sick, good luck, I guess. But, you know, that's probably it. Or just any number of things could happen to you. And it's interesting, too, I always think with, it's especially gone now because it was ridiculous. The most ridiculous thing about Old West stuff was definitely the cowboys and Indians idea. The fact that little kids play that as a fun game. Bang, bang, I'll shoot the Indians. And like in Red Dead, you do meet very rarely because there's not that many natives left. But when you do meet some, and you know, you got your sad sack story of like, oh, my outlaw gang is having a hard time. We won't be around soon. And the native guy's like, you won't be around soon. My whole fucking way of life isn't around anymore. Like, fuck you, white guy.
You know? Yeah, so I'd say it was around like the late 1960s or the early 70s that door got open of let's look at the West for the more realistic picture of what it was. And both TV and movies, but starting with the movies, tried to emulate that, to get away from that, you know, the nice, clean, dusty type streets that you would have seen in a town, the girls who were all gorgeous girls who were out there plying their trade, the white hats and the black hats, that, you know, and of course the native people who always were just running around hooping and hawing with a bunch of feathers in their hair, and you had to kill them because they were the evil demons. They really tried to get away from that and tried to show the more sympathetic side of what people had to go through in trying to settle the West and in trying to keep their lands in the West, so.
It's neat too, just the different mediums of playing a video game version where You know, like, yeah, arguably this is a sympathetic guy, or he feels sympathetic in some ways just because you spend 100 hours living his life. But at the same time, it's like, how sympathetic can you be? It's like, I know all the stuff this guy did because I did it. I went and beat up all these people. I robbed the banks. I killed the innocent people. You know, it's like, yeah, well then maybe you get kind of what you deserve.
You played it for 100 hours, because when I was watching with the guy get tuberculosis at the end, I said, geez, well, that's kind of a rough call. You know, it's kind of a rough way to go. But you know what? Kind of deserves it. It's karma. Yeah. Goes around, comes around, buddy. You made life hell for a hell of a lot of people, and now you're getting it.
And two
nice
is
nice and slow.
But yeah, definitely interesting. So yeah, we won't put too much weight on McCabe and Mrs. Miller, particularly like it's the only one or something, because like you were saying, obviously it's a gradual change throughout. But yeah, this did sound like, though, a particularly interesting switch point in that perception between the two. So yeah, let's watch this freaking movie.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it for 50 years, so, or close to that.
So I assume you saw it in, like, the theater?
I saw it in the theater when it first came out.
Dang, nice.
Never saw it since then.
I was about to put up a bottle on the house.
Just a point.
Is she here again?
She didn't stay very long.
He ain't going nowhere. Just another pack.
See, you know what kind of gun that was? That was a Swedish gun.
So Jimmy squeezes out the bar, right?
It's funny, too, right, with the ends of movies, how we noticed when we watched The Fly, it had all, like, no ending at all. Just said like the end or whatever, because all the credits were at the start. And this one's still pretty short. Those credits were like 1 minute long. Like nowadays, movie credits, without exaggeration, are like 13 minutes long. They just never stop. So yeah, I think that initial thing you mentioned about this movie, what got me to want to check it out, about it being so unusual for a Western and not feeling like other ones, particularly what came before it, I think you were right. I think it lived up exactly to that. That is one of the most unusual Westerns. So much so, as we were watching it, you were saying it almost feels like it doesn't count as a Western. Such an unusual Western film.
It's more like a development of the early 20th century as opposed to the ending of the 19th century.
Right.
But the detail that they put in that was incredible. It's incredible. They did a wonderful job.
And just seeing the director's name, Robert Altman, is one of those names I had heard, but I didn't know who he was. I guess he directed the movie of MASH, but I've never seen that. But he also directed Popeye, weirdly. But yeah, I'd heard the name, and all I knew about him was that he was known for naturalistic filmmaking. And yeah, right away, you can feel that, like you were saying, how in that first scene where McCabe comes in and he's just gambling with some guys in some weird little ramshackle place in the mining town or whatever, is like everything right away feels so different from a normal Western, where it's cold and rainy. You can just feel that cold. The whole movie feels cold. There's so much coldness in this movie.
Cold and dark. Like when they're in the evenings, there's no good lighting. It's dark. They actually must have filmed in the dark. And they seem to have used natural type lighting as opposed to artificial lighting.
And they really hang a lampshade on that, no pun intended, in that scene where they literally light a lamp to bring it over to the poker table, because that's the important part. We got to see what's going on with the poker. The rest of the bar, whatever, there's people off in the corner, it's all dark, who knows what they're up to. And it's like, yeah, I guess that would be what it's like.
That's what it would be like. And the very ending, the snow, like that snow is incredible. Obviously, they're filming right in a snowstorm. Like, those actors must have been like wow, bummed right out. Because what we watched in maybe 10 minutes, that would have taken them hours, days to film. And my God, I mean, you could feel the cold. You could feel how cold they would have been, because I'm sitting here in this room and I'm cold just watching it.
And then the other thing that stood out right away, beyond just the believability of the setting and the lighting and everything, was that dialogue style. Not just the dialogue, but the entire way that it's filmed, where there's no close-ups in this movie, really. Like, it's always, even the main characters are, like, on the other side of the room when they're talking. Like, it's always like you're watching something happen. And if there happen to be other characters around there, Yeah, it's funny because you don't notice it in movies. You don't realize how artificial it is that this person talks, then that person talks, then this person talks. In this movie, everyone just talks. They just all talk together. And when I did a little quick research on Altman, that is the thing that comes up often. That's kind of what he was famous for. And it really is a bold technique because I don't know that I would do that. You know, if I was making a movie, it's like, that's a pretty, it's, you know, I think I would value clarity over realism, but I respect somebody who didn't, someone who wanted it to feel real.
And there were parts where every line in every scene was not clearly enunciated or, you know, that you zeroed in on what that person was saying. There was so much interaction in speech that a whole lot of the speech I missed. But that's naturally in real life. That's what happens. People talk, but really you only zero in on a certain percentage of what they're actually saying. A whole lot of words just go. And this movie did that all the time. Because I'm thinking to myself, like, who is that? And what was that all about? And it's not that I was confused necessarily. It's just that I was trying to hear what they were saying, but it wasn't important what they were saying. It was just part of normal conversation.
Yeah, it's almost more of a tone. Because, yeah, as far as specific characters, besides McCabe and Mrs. Miller, I couldn't tell you anybody else's name. No one else really even was particularly important. There was just like an ensemble.
The people in the town.
Yeah. So much so that, yeah, during that funeral, you were like, is that important? Who's that guy? And I did a little looking up just to make sure we weren't missing a big plot point. And the summary of this movie doesn't even mention the funeral because it's just something that happened in the town. It's not even, like, what a strange way to tell a story. But it is interesting because it's clear up front about how this movie's going to be. Like, because everything feels that way right away, you just know that you're not supposed to be able to follow it that way, or that you're not, I'm sure if you wanted to watch the movie 10 times, you could know every character in town and everything that they're doing. But it doesn't matter if you don't, because that's not the style of this little tale.
To me, it's more like an atmospheric movie than a plot-driven movie, because the plot really is pretty lame. He comes to this small little mining community. He actually creates a town out of it, and it becomes a very viable place. A church is built. There's a general store. There's the whorehouse is created. He gets the gal to run it. He falls in love with her, of course. But even that's very superficial. And then people want to buy it from him. Big business wants to buy out the mining rights and the town, and he doesn't sell. And so then they come to kill him. That, in a nutshell, is pretty much it. You know, it's not like a big super plot where you're like wondering what's going to happen and who's you know, it's just that's it. But it's the atmosphere of the thing that pulls it along. It's I spent so much time like looking at background scenes and seeing lanterns and beds and furniture and trains and horses and just paying attention to all those details, and they were incredible. I mean, it's like they missed nothing.
I wonder too, maybe because the details are nuts, and I wonder if it could be because they basically just built the whole town. Like, it's about a movie about building a town, so they built the town, you know, so all that stuff is like they just did it legit. Because we just like a month ago we went to a historical King's Landing in beautiful New Brunswick, Canada, where, you know, it's a bunch of old buildings from the 1800s. And it's like, yeah, like that's what these buildings look like. They look exactly the same. So yeah, they did an incredible job with that stuff.
And they did things like I found interesting, like the girls in the whorehouse, they're sitting around in their fancy underwear. Now, a lot of Westerns up to this point, when you watched, they all had the girls in the bar, but they were all dressed in usually fancy silk dresses from San Francisco, and they'd have their earrings, and these girls didn't. They sat around in their chemises and their rolled-down stockings, and they might have a nice house coat on, but hey, they were ready for business. They weren't going to be all gussied up as if they were going to parade around town in their finery. They were sitting around just waiting for the gents to come in, and they were going to do business, and that was it. That there was their purpose, and there was no questioning. You knew exactly what they were up to.
Well, I like, too, even without Again, I feel like the term hanging a lampshade on it keeps coming up, but without being deliberate about a lot of the plot points, you still pick up so many little details. Like, I noticed that the novel it's based on was just called McCabe, but I think McCabe and Mrs. Miller is the right title because I think she's easily as important and as interesting as McCabe, maybe more so. She seemed kind of more capable than him. Yeah, I guess evidenced by the fact that she's still alive at the end of the movie. McCabe, like, he's tripping and falling all over the place.
Well, he's been shot a few times.
Yeah, and that he's, you know, he's kind of picked up this fake reputation as a gunslinger that is, he's just went with it, but it's not true. He actually did okay. I mean, he did take out all three of the guys before he died. But I love the little details of, you know, she's the one who kind of has the sense to build this into a bigger enterprise to begin with. And then you kind of get this sense, because they are kind of the two people that run the town. So it's like, even though she's the madame of the house, she's still available for people to sleep with, but she charges five times more than everyone else, which is just also funny and awesome. And like, there's a part where the girls are like, oh, where's the madame? Oh, she's in the room with McCabe. And you get this feeling like, oh, they're kind of the unit. They're kind of the couple. They're the people that run the town. But he still puts the money on her dresser. He still has to pay her.
Yeah.
I love that.
And when he doesn't sell the town, because her life's going to improve big time if he does, he doesn't sell it. She just doesn't back off and just say, oh, well, that's okay, honey, because you know what? We can just keep going as we're going because we're doing okay, because they were hauling in a few dollars there. She demands that if he doesn't do something about it, she'll do something about it. She'll sell her interest. And you know that at the very end, even when he's freezing to death or has died and the snow is covering him up and she's alone in the, wherever she is, in the house, I guess, you know very well that she's going to survive. She's going to come out of this and probably sell her interest or make her interest bigger, or she's going to work a deal with somebody. And she's a survivor, that girl.
Yeah, I like too. She was, maybe her dialogue stands out the most to me because she's the only character that had, like, you know, sometimes when people do acting auditions and they like read a part from a play or something. You couldn't do that with this movie because no one talks like that. Everyone's just mumbling to each other all the time. She's the only one that has like speeches, but her speeches were like when she was trying to pitch him on the idea of letting her run the whorehouse part. It was such a compelling argument because McCabe couldn't have been more negligent about it. He goes and like rounds up three women that he bought from somebody and he puts them in some gross tents while they're making the building. And he just like, he couldn't be.
And he bartered to get them. Like he wasn't looking for any class act or whatever. It was just anybody who had an area that could be penetrated. That's what he was looking for. And he just took what they offered. And
yeah,
and one of them was a real young girl. I don't think she'd ever been in. I think she might have been a native girl, but she had never been involved in any of this kind of stuff before. You could tell. Totally innocent. Didn't matter.
Yeah, it reminds me of like when someone has like a dog chained up in their yard, but it's raining out and they don't have a dog house. Like that's the level of he just wasn't caring at all. So when she was laying out, like I've done this before, just not even like edge cases that might come up. Here's what the basic day-to-day is going to be like. Here's all the things that can happen. Here's all the problems. Do you even know, like, how to tell if a woman's on her period or what to do? Or what if they say they're on their period because they don't want to work? What if this? What if that? Like, you really think you have any of the sense necessary to run a house full of women who are going to try to rip you off, you know, was the insinuation. And you could see the wheels turning in his head of like, oh, yeah, I don't want to deal with all that. And I don't want to, and I can't. And I was like, man, that's a compelling business arrangement, I would say. But yeah, I was also surprised. I didn't look up a ton of stuff, but I did just look up some quick details when we took a little break in the middle of the film. And I'm really surprised this movie isn't more well known. I've never heard anyone talk about it except you. I've never heard it mentioned before. But the little bit I saw here was just that Altman himself referred to this as an anti-Western film because it ignores or subverts a number of Western conventions. Like we were saying at the start with Red Dead, like it's clear that a lot of the current day style and feel of Westerns is much more this than it is previous Western films. Although even this still just goes way further. Still way more real. It's funny because in Red Dead, I spent 100 hours literally just walking around the Old West, and this still feels more real than that. But also, This film was deemed the 8th greatest Western of all time by the American Film Institute in its top 10 list of 2008, and in 2010 it was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. And I did look up the top 10 list, and, you know, it's good movies, but it's The Unforgiven, it's Searchers, it's The Searchers, Stagecoach. You know, it's like all the usual suspects, all the big famous Western movies. And this is the one on the list that it's like, I never heard of that movie before. How come I never heard of this movie? So, yeah, I'm glad that we checked it out, because I feel like this is getting strangely left to the side in the history of Westerns when it seems pretty dang significant to me.
Yeah, me too. Well, I liked it when I saw it many, many years ago, and I find it holds up very, very well. It's excellent.